take a little news, boys. That's good stuff. I love it, man. Janice Gillis, she is the Escambia County Administrator. She joins us now. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. That brings back a lot, because that's a lot of concerts back in the day, going to all of these like Christian music festivals and the Newsboys and Third Day and Toby Mac and Skillet and Jars of Clay. Oh, man.
Yep.
That's digging deep in the archive for me a little bit. Well, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, as always. Let's start with the big news from this last week. We had the ribbon cutting on the new jail facility, the correctional facility. Don't call it a jail. Just like don't call it a dump. It's a landfill. I know these names matter. When will it actually be open to take prisoners in? Not for a couple of months, is that right?
No, it'll hopefully in the next couple of weeks. In the next month, we'll be able to. Now we are still working on staffing, so we will, open it a little bit by a little bit to make sure that staffing allows, as staffing allows. And we also have to make sure that we have the right inmates in the right places. So there's a very thoughtful process that's taking place to get, have the move-in handled properly.
And I know
we still have teams of...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we still have teams of folks going through, making sure everything, every I is dotted, every T is crossed, to make sure that, we're protecting not only the inmates, but protecting our employees, our officers that, work there every single day.
And I know when we toured the facility before it had been opened, that, we kind of asked the question, well, who's going to be over at the old jail, what people affectionately call Grayskull, or not so affectionately, and then the new facility. And I know without getting, they didn't want to get into too many operational details, but generally, the principle is the more serious offenders with the higher security issues are going to be at the old jail, and then the others are going to be at the new facility. Is that generally about right?
Well, I would say that I'm going to leave that decision up to Chief Powell and his staff for them to make those decisions, because I do think in some ways the new jail may be a more secure facility for some of those. So I would hesitate to make a definitive answer on that. I'm going to let them make that decision.
All right, fair enough. One concern that I have had raised to me is the level of staffing among the corrections officers.
Mm-hmm.
We're really, really low, as I understand it, like 80 below what we should be in the 300 range. And that, of course, raises questions about the ability to function with more facility, and then the safety for the COs who are on duty.
Yeah, I would say that, I don't know about you, but when I drive around town, I don't think I've seen a business that doesn't have a hiring sign. I mean, I'm talking about everything. And so we're exactly in that same position. As you know, almost every week I mention to you, we need employees. But as you saw yesterday, the tourism industry needs employees.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs people to come work. I literally never in my life thought I would see a time when we would be begging people to take a job in America. Begging. I mean, I knew we saw that when the farm workers, when there were those kind of jobs that people felt like, they wanted to move more into the more, office environments. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's unbelievable right now. I mean, it's not just corrections. We're down in almost every department to some extent. It's really difficult.
Do we need to raise salaries? I mean, are we talking about a budget change if it's widespread like this? I mean, I assume part of the issue is willingness, and maybe part of the issue is competing against benefits that people have right now under COVID. But what's the answer? We can't just keep going like we are, right?
I would say, part of what we have is we have vocational opportunities that are technical and they're skilled. So you have to go get training to be an animal officer. You have to go get training to be, you have to get training to be a corrections officer or a fireman or a EMS or EMT. So you have to have a penchant for this. You have to want to do this because you have to go through a substantial amount of training. So there's that element, okay? It's the commitment of the time and training. I do think that salary is a part of it. And so the good news is I'm continuing to modernize the county and the way we do our what I call the backbone, the inside structure in terms of the human resources programs and the budget programs. We're now going to be able to forecast for the commissioners a five-year forecast of what their salaries and wages and benefits are going to cost them. We're also working on a capital plan to also do the same for their capital. We have hundreds of vehicles and pieces of equipment, and some of them are 10 years past replacement. And the commissioners don't know that. They've never had that presented to them. So this year is going to be a very eye-opening year for our staff and our commissioners. And so part of that, yes, is looking at the salaries and where they are and where they probably should be.
All right. And I know you're well aware that, like, Santa Rosa just put in a pay raise for across the board for its, and, you know, there's always a competition a bit of, you know, if there's an employee available, which county would they rather work in? What's the pay
yep.
structure and all that, you know, just like the police agencies. So I know these are all factors in making these decisions. Let's turn down to an article. You and I have talked about this a little bit before, but an article in the Pensacola News
yeah.
Journal was raised this week about failure to follow through on the promises of the covenant with the community. And I just wanted to give you a chance to kind of
yeah.
address that and talk about yeah. why it hasn't been done more.
Yeah, so I actually had an opportunity to talk to Quint Studer yesterday a little bit about this. Part of it is it's what I just mentioned about the modernizing of the county. So our documentation, I think, I don't know if you remember, but last year we had Accenture come in and do a report on purchasing. And we had a lot of deficiencies in the way we do purchasing and in the way we do record keeping in terms of, you know, just being able to know who's actually working for us and, you know, how many employees they have or where they come from. And so I would say that a big part of the covenant for community with us has been just the opportunity to implement it with real metrics and goals and things like that. Now, that being said, I could very comfortably say 75 or more percent of our work is done by local people. So from a local, I mean, when you look at our engineering firms, our road construction, you know, our the folks that do our rehab for our affordable housing, those are all local companies. You know, with the exception of the jail as a huge company, they did have a local element, and then they, you know, obviously hired a lot of local folks. We do a lot of local purchasing already. We just don't do a good job of tracking it, okay? And that is not against the previous purchasing folks. I just think it's something that we know that we need to do better in the future, and we are looking at a program to be able to do that. And I did want to mention the Bellevue Library. So we do already have that under contract. And out of the 19 subcontractors for the Bellevue Library, 17 of them are local. So we are doing it. What we're not doing well is measuring it and benchmarking it and then really, you know, demonstrating that in the spirit of the covenant with the community.
So
that's where we need to do better.
So you're saying we are probably more in line with it than we know, but we'll know better when
yeah.
we start doing a better job of tracking what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
We'll look forward to seeing that. I hate to bring up something that I know is a sore spot for everybody, but I have to. I drove through Gulf Breeze the other day, and for the first time since the bridge mm-hmm. went out, I got to see the sailfish sign in what I can only describe as a barely limping along alive form.
Yep.
It's got like maybe 10 of the lights work as far as I could tell. What's the status of that?
Yeah. So as I've mentioned before, I mean, we are having to I'm trying to figure out how to politely say this, but go after the contractor that, mm-hmm. that built the sign. I mean, it's really sad. It is a good example, for lack of a better term, of what happens when you go with low bid. That's the honest truth. We went with the county went with the low bid. This was pre-me, but it's not. They followed the rules and the laws, and they did what they should do. And unfortunately, they went with the low bid. And that low bid has proven to be you paid for what you got.
All right.
And so we're having to go after the contractor from that perspective. It is such a disappointment to the commissioner, obviously, and just us in general, because it's such an icon for our community. I did want to mention about the library on a positive note.
Yeah.
So we do have a plan to open up the stacks, the bookshelves, on April 15th.
Oh, 2 weeks. Okay.
We feel like since everybody 18 and over, if they would like to have a vaccination, would have that opportunity. And 10 days later, we're going to open up the stacks at the libraries. There may be, because if there's any hurricane damage at a library, there may be an area that may still have a little bit of an issue. But for the most part, we're looking to open them back up.
Okay, so that's across the libraries that the people will be able to go and browse. And
yeah.
then also we got the Bellevue Library going to be coming along. Okay, well, that's
yeah.
really good news. A lot of times, Janice, you like to ask me a question. Do you have a question for me today?
Yeah. So today is what day in Holy Week?
Oh, I got to think for a second. It's Monday, Thursday. Yeah, Monday, Thursday.
There you go. Very good.
I had to
Very
think
good.
What day it was.
And then I was gonna, yeah, I know. Yeah. And then the other question was, so what's your favorite Easter treat in your basket?
Well, I'm more geared towards the one I can't stand. I'm definitely anti-peep, which my whole family loves. But for my wife especially, she loves peeps. For me, I'm pretty much anything chocolate. But I'm not a big Easter person. I'm not a big chocolate person. I'll eat it, but it doesn't get me worked up. I mean, you know, it's just not my.
Well, they have jelly beans and sweet tarts.
If it's Jelly Bellies, then I'm all in. If it's actually okay. Jelly Bellies, I'm 100%. How about you? You got a favorite?
I love those Reese's Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah, those
are
good.
And then I love the Dove. Oh, my gosh. Anything Dove dark chocolate.
Yeah, you're right about that. I'll tell you, the one that creeps me out is the little, like, cream-filled bunny. So, like, you bite off its head and it's, you know, things gush out. That always struck me as a little bit weird.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
I just wanted to throw in my 2 cents here. My favorite treats are the gift cards I get in my basket. You know, nice Chick-fil-A gift card.
Oh.
That, just to add a little twist in there, sometimes I get
a gift card for non-Easter things.
Oh, trust me. Chick-fil-A is as holy as it comes.
That's about on target, really.
I love it.
All right, Janice Gillis, she's the Escambia.
I would think Davis's mom would get him something sports related.
Oh, yeah, maybe. he's like, I'll take it.
I have a baseball themed basket, and yes, we still use it.
Outstanding. Janice Gillis is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Y'all have a great day.